I love his hand, I love his love, I love his love. I love his hand, I love his love, I love his love.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله
Dear viewers of I Love Islam, welcome back to another episode and you're watching this program. Make sure you stay tuned, watch this till the end because it's going to be packed with fun. We have a very important and emotional and something which is very connected with our souls. That sort of topic we will be discussing today. What is that topic? It's something I'm going to keep it as a surprise because it's not a segment yet. We've not come on to story time. Wait, you have to wait for a bit. Then inshallah, I'll announce the topic as well. Before we move on, can I request you one thing? Can you please phone your cousins and friends, tell them I Love Islam is back and get them to watch this program as well so they can benefit from this program. Alhamdulillah, this is children-based program, educational program. Inshallah, we're here to talk about Islam and we will have beautiful segments as usual. Story time, Sunnah lifestyle, Islamic manners, Islamic rulings. Subhanallah, but before all this, should we see who has joined us today in the studio? Okay, then let me turn towards my right side. We have someone here. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
This is Brother Arkam who's joined us all the way from, really far, isn't it? From Oldham, UK, just outside of Manchester. MashaAllah, how are you, Arkam bhai?
Alhamdulillah, ala kulli hal.
MashaAllah, first of all, a warm welcome, it might be cold here, but a warm welcome to you to our program, I Love Islam.
JazakAllah.
MashaAllah, how are you feeling?
Alhamdulillah.
MashaAllah, we have, who's here? Come on everyone, you want to meet this little boy? He's our little superstar, Ibrahim from Bradford. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
How are you doing, Ibrahim?
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah, you're watching I Love Islam, which is children-based educational program. It's time now to move on to our first segment, story time.
I love Islam. I love Islam. I love Islam. 14.
Today in this segment story time, we have one of the best of topics, which is journey to Medina. Subhanallah, we got a beautiful topic today. We're going to talk about the beautiful journey, the best of journeys, which is the journey to Medina Sharif. Arkam bhai, what would you like to say on this topic?
Subhanallah, this journey towards Madinatul Munawwarah is a journey that's difficult to describe in words.
Allahu Akbar.
You know, those people who have been, they will understand. However much you talk about this journey to Madinatul Munawwarah, you can't express it in words.
Subhanallah, you know, every time you talk about it, you become so emotional.
Yeah.
The emotion just run through and you just feel like you're left out.
So if you might just think about that place, this city is that place which our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he spent 10 years of his physical life in this place.
Allah.
Subhanallah. Now he is resting in that blessed place, in that actual city. Allah. Our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is resting there.
Subhanallah. Subhanallah.
10,000 of the closest companions and family members of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam are resting there.
Allah.
They spend their lives in that city. Why wouldn't all the Muslims around the world want to go to that place?
Subhanallah. Our beloved master, the last and final prophet of Allah Ta'ala, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, is reported to have said, "Man zara qabri wajabat lahu shafa'ati."
Allah.
These words are priceless. Allahu Akbar. For the Ashikani Rasul, the lovers of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, enjoy these words again. And get your ears to hear these words. "Man zara qabri wajabat lahu shafa'ati." Subhanallah. Our beloved Aqa, Madani Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, is reported to have said, "Whoever beheld my grave, whoever came to do the ziyarah, whoever came to see my grave, my resting place, my intercession, my shafa'at has become wajib for him."
Subhanallah. Subhanallah.
Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given this great glad tiding for those people who have gone to visit the resting place of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he gives salam in the court of Aqa alayhi salatu wa sallam. Allahu Akbar.
Allah.
Imagine how lucky these people are. The Aqa alayhi salatu wa sallam has given them this great, great glad tiding that on the day of judgment when there is no one there, to help you. But Aqa alayhi salatu wa sallam has given them the words of comfort. Subhanallah. That Aqa alayhi salatu wa sallam will intercede for those people who have visited the resting place of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah. Allahu Akbar. This is the spiritual journey. You know, there are people out there crying and weeping and asking in the court of Allah, "Ya Allah, please call me to Madinatul Munawwara. Ya Allah, show me the beautiful green dome of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam."
Subhanallah.
Subhanallah. My dear brothers and viewers of Madinatul Munawwara, this is the topic that we're going to continue, inshallah. Dear Kambai, anything else?
Subhanallah. What can you say about the city of Medina?
Subhanallah. The city of Nur.
Yeah.
Allahu Akbar.
Is one city in the world which millions of people want to visit. There'll be other cities where some people want to visit, but this is that one city where millions and millions of people want to visit. And they don't want to visit it once. Other cities, when you go once or you go twice, you think, "I've seen that city now. There's nothing else to see there."
Allah.
But that individual who goes to Medina once, he wants to go again and again and again.
Subhanallah.
Such is the speciality of that city. Subhanallah.
Subhanallah. Subhanallah. May Allah Pak hold us to the beautiful city of Medina to Munawwara. May we be able to visit Medina with our family, with our friends. Inshallah. From the kids who are watching this program, do you want to go to Medina? Say, "Inshallah, one day I will go to Medina." Subhanallah. Ibrahim, do you know any kalam about Medina Sharif? I want you to say like one line.
"Sweet Medina,
sweet Medina, very Medina, very lovely." What about Bulalo Pit? Can we do it together? Just the chorus. Come on then, everyone join in. "Bulalo Pit, mujhe shahe bahar Medina." Habib
sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah, it's a topic, like I mentioned to you at the beginning, it's going to be very emotional. Ya Allah call us to Medina. Subhanallah, this is something every Muslim should try to instill in their hearts, the love of Madinatul Munawwara. Subhanallah, that's where our heart rests. Subhanallah. Those parents who are watching this program, get your kids to read the kalams of Madina Sharif. You know, Madina, Madina, Hamara Madina, Hame Jaano Dil Se Hai Pyara Madina. SubhanAllah, get kids to read these kalams. Get them to, you know, instill love of Madinatul Munawwara in their heart at a young age. Inshallah, when these kids grow, inshallah, they'll be firm upon the principles of Shariat. Inshallah, they'll be firm on the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why should there not be love for Madinatul Munawwara? Why should someone not do zikr of Madina? Because Madina is such thing that it enlightens your heart, it refreshes you. SubhanAllah, it is mentioned that there is no city on earth that has many names as Madina Sharif. There are many cities, famous places in the dunya, but there is no city on earth that has as many names as Madina Sharif. There's no poems that have been written on a city to the number of the poems that have been written from Madinatul Munawwara, and in so many different languages. Now, the lovers of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, remember, they're not just in the Arab world. They're outside that as well, in Asia, America, Australia, Africa, Europe, and all around the world. The Muslims are all around the world. The lovers of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam are in all corners of the world, and they have different languages, they have different cultures, and they have different ways to express their love for Madinatul Munawwara. SubhanAllah. And the key thing is, when three or four people who speak the different language, but when they're together and they do zikr of Madina, for some reason, all of them connect. They all feel the spirituality and they feel so beautiful. It's a beautiful vibe that goes around when there's a zikr of Madinatul Munawwara. SubhanAllah. May Allah Ta'ala allow us to visit the beautiful city of Madinatul Munawwara. It is mentioned, Allah Almighty has kept the name for Madinatul Munawwara, has kept the name Taaba. Taaba is one of the names of Madinatul Munawwara, and Allah Almighty has kept this name. SubhanAllah, can you believe it? The creator of the whole universe has kept the name for Madinatul Munawwara as Taaba. SubhanAllah. When our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would come back from a journey, and as he, alayhi salam, would reach near Madinatul Munawwara, the love for Madinatul Munawwara, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had, was such that he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, would speed up his journey, would speed up the ride out of love and passion for Madinatul Munawwara. SubhanAllah. This is the Medina we are talking about today. SubhanAllah. The blessed heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would feel at comfort, would feel peace in the city of Madinatul Munawwara. SubhanAllah. And even now, those people who have had this privilege, this honor to spend some moments in Madinatul Munawwara, when they are there, SubhanAllah, they are at peace, they are at some comfort. This is the best moment in their life. It is mentioned that our beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam would not wipe off the dust of Medina from his blessed face. No, for example, during sajda, when performing the sajda, if there's any dust that goes on the forehead, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would not wipe off the dust of Medina from his blessed face, and would also forbid the honorable companions, the Sahaba, from doing so as well. Don't rub this off. Don't rub this dust off. You know, sometimes you get dust gets on your hands, on your face, on Madinatul Munawwara. Don't rub it off. Don't throw it away.
The dust of Medina is so special.
SubhanAllah.
It's mentioned the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. SubhanAllah. He told us that the soil of Medina, the dust of Medina is cure.
Allah.
So special is that soil of Medina.
SubhanAllah. There is cure. There is shifa in the dust of Madinatul Munawwara. SubhanAllah. Then what about the atmosphere of Madinatul Munawwara? Allahu Akbar. What about the du'as of Madinatul Munawwara? SubhanAllah. Madinatul Munawwara is that place. Allahu Akbar.
It's a place where you can say the nur of angels.
Subhanallah.
The nur of angels showers, you know, in the beautiful city of Madinatul Munawwara, especially around those areas where there's a resting place of the Rawda Mubarak of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Is it true that 70,000 angels are there at one point?
Subhanallah. Not just 70,000 angels are there at one point. It is mentioned in the Hadith Pak that Allahu Akbar, the blessed shrine, the blessed resting place of the Prophet ﷺ is located in that place of Madinatul Munawwara where 70,000 angels descend in the morning and 70,000 angels descend in the evening.
Subhanallah.
Not just one particular day. This is the routine of every single day.
Is it the same angels that come every day?
Allahu Akbar. Scholars have written that what the angel that comes once in the court of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then it doesn't get a chance until the day of judgment.
Allah.
That shows you how many angels there are. There are so many angels, millions and millions of angels. Allahu Akbar. One angel who comes in the court of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, during those 70,000 angels, they don't get a chance to come in the court of Allah sallam until the day of judgment. Allahu Akbar. Here, I'm going to take a pause and say to all those people who, and all of us, the Muslims, who are able, who have this, who have had this chance, or inshallah will have this chance in future to visit the city of Madinatul Munawwara more than once. In fact, there are lovers of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam who have visited Madinatul Munawwara, no, not just two times, five times, or many times. Some people go three or four times in a year. Some people visit Madinatul Munawwara in every Rabiul Awwal Sharif. Some people go in Madina in Ramadan. How lucky we are as humans. How fortunate Allah Pak has made us a human, has selected us, chosen us to be from the followers of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and from those people who have this opportunity to visit Madina Sharif so many times in their life. Allahu Akbar. Yeah, anything else, Arkham bhai?
Tafiq bhai, have you heard this phrase is quite common now? When people see places where the scenery is good or the location seems to be nice, they say it's like heaven on earth. Have you heard of that phrase?
Heaven on earth.
But in Madinatul Munawwara, it's not like heaven on earth. It actually is heaven on earth.
Allah.
Mentioned our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said that place between his house, where his blessed resting place is now, and his blessed minbar, that place is a garden from the gardens of paradise. Subhanallah.
That part is actually part of Jannah.
Subhanallah.
The Jannah in the dunya. Allahu Akbar. Subhanallah. Those people who are so fortunate to perform their prayer, even if it's in the farz or nafal namaz, or even just breathe in that area, to read tasbih in that area.
When we visit Madinatul Munawwara, we can actually go to that place as well.
Subhanallah. Really, is it possible?
We can actually go into that place.
Wow. Subhanallah. Come on, kids. Get to your parents and tell them that, please, mom, dad, please take me to Madina. I want to go to Madina. Please take me. This year, I want to go to Madina Sharif. Get on the cases of your parents, and you never know. You never know, if you're so lucky, they might book a ticket, they might give you a surprise. And you might end up this year, maybe next couple of weeks, maybe next few months, maybe in Rabiul Awwal, you might be spending the 12th of Rabiul Awwal in Madinatul Munawwara. Subhanallah, subhanallah. Dar pe bulao, Makki Madani. Subhanallah. Or we then bulalo pir mujhe eh shahid baharo bar madine mein. No, read these kalams and ask the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a beautiful way, in a very emotional way, from deep down from your heart. Ask the court of Aqali sallallahu alaihi wasallam, please call me to Madinatul Munawwara. Bulalo hum gharibun ko, bulalo ya Rasulullah. Habib
صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وآله وسلم. May Allah Azza wa Jalla allow us those beautiful moments that we are breathing the air of Madinatul Munawwara. May we have this chance to see the beautiful green dome of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. You know, living and spending moments in Madinatul Munawwara is obviously precious. So, you know, it's one of the best moments in someone's life. Yeah, going to Medina Sharif, and obviously, you know, when a person is about to leave Medina to Munawwara, that's a very difficult moment. Allah. It's a very difficult moment for the Ashiq Rasul, for the lover of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. However, those people who are so lucky that they die in Medina to Munawwara. Allah, for there are people who are so blessed that they get chance to die in Medina to Munawwara. Just imagine how lucky they are. When their burial is Jannatul Baqi. Allahu Akbar. Jannatul Baqi is towards the feet of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And Jannatul Baqi is that graveyard that around 10,000 Sahaba Ikram are resting. And many great scholars of the past, great noble ladies, Subhanallah, they are resting in that place. Allahu Akbar. Our beloved Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is reported to have said, Whoever among you can die in Medina, should die in Medina. Because I will make shafa'at, I will intercede for the one who dies in Medina. Ya Allah, Ya Allah. Allow us to breathe those last moments of our life in the beautiful city of Medina to Munawwara. When the last moments come, we're about to leave this dunya. Ya Allah, may we be under the shade of green dome of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whilst doing the ziyarah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, may we have this death in martyrdom, and we become shaheed, and we have our burial in Jannatul Baqi towards the feet of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allahu Akbar. This is the dream of every lover. Every lover of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and all of us should have this wish. All the kids who are watching this, all the elders who are watching this program, everyone should have this yearn, this longing that I want to die in Medina. Ya Allah, keep me wherever you want in the dunya, but may my death be in Medina. My resting place becomes Medina. Why all these people wish to die in Medina? Because Aqa al-Islatu Islam has given them the stamp, this glad tiding that I will make shafa'at for those who die in Medina. What does shafa'at mean? For kids, what would you say? What does shafa'at mean? How would you describe this?
So on the Day of Judgment, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will intercede in the court of Allah Almighty for those people. So Allah Almighty will be asking or holding to account everyone on the Day of Judgment. But those people who the Prophet ﷺ intercedes for, he will be the intercessor for them. He will be intermediary.
So Rasulullah ﷺ will ask, Allah Pak, forgive these people. Keep them away from fire and give them the entry to Jannah. Allahu Akbar. That is amazing. That's something that every single person, all of us, all those who are with our Madani Channel team, those who are watching this program, all the Muslims should have this wish, this dream. And to be honest, that's the only hope that we have. Because when we look at our own actions, we've got nothing. We've got nothing that we can be so proud of, that because of these actions that we are going to be forgiven. Because our sins are so much. Our sins are so much from head to toe. We are drowned in sins. We've done so many wrong things. The only hope that we have is from the court of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Reminds me of this very beautiful verse of the glorious Quran. I'm going to read the translation. Surah An-Nisa, ayat number, the verse number 64. Our Rabb Allah Azza wa Jal says, and if when they do injustice to their own souls by committing sins, then, O beloved, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they should come to your august court and then seek forgiveness from Allah. And the messenger intercedes for them, so they would definitely find Allah, the greatest acceptor of repentance, the most merciful. Now all those people who have this opportunity to travel to Madinatul Munawwara, they should have this ayat in mind, this verse and make this intention that I am acting upon this verse. You're going in the court of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's where you go and you ask Allah Pak for forgiveness. You're asking for shafaat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You're giving salam, assalamu alayka ya Rasulullah, assalamu alayka ya Rasulullah. You're giving salam to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then you say as'aluka shafa'ata ya Rasulullah. Ask the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ya Rasulullah, please do shafaat for me. Ya Rasulullah, please, I ask you, I beg you to do shafaat for me. This is something that we all should do. One of the reasons we should travel is to act upon the hukum of Allah Ta'ala of this verse, inshaAllah. Allahu Akbar. This is a topic that we can carry on talking about, but the time is not on our side. Any final message on the topic of Madinatul Munawwara? Ji.
I think we started this. However much you talk about Madinatul Munawwara, you cannot do it justice to the city of Medina.
SubhanAllah. But even then though, every small chance you have to do, remember Madinatul Munawwara, you should do it.
You should do it.
Yeah. You know when you're with your friends, you're sitting down with your family, and then Dhikr Medina starts.
They give you a new love every
Time. And we make sure you're ready for that moment, that excitement, and you want to refresh in your heart again. And talk about those beautiful, the virtues, the excellence of Madinatul Munawwara. And the more you talk about, remember one rule, the more you love something, the more you remember it. The more you will have that on your tongue. And alhamdulillah, we love Madinatul Munawwara. The question is the zikr of Madinatul Munawwara, is the remembrance of Madinatul Munawwara on our tongue that frequent as well? Or is it, do we always talk about games? Do we talk about sports? Do we talk about playing outside? What is on our tongue a lot why is it toys? Is it cartoons? What is on our tongue a lot of times? Is it the zikr of Medina? And that's what we need to have on our tongues, because the zikr of Medina purifies our tongues, it cleans our heart, increases our love for the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Because the love of the Prophet, why do we love Medina? Because that is a resting place of our beloved Aqa Madani Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And the love of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the essence of our iman. May Allah ta'ala allow us all this beautiful journey, the spiritual journey, visiting مدينة المنورة آمين بجاه النبي الأمين صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وآله وسلم. Now it's that time of the program where we will have to move on to our next segment, which is Sunnah Lifestyle.
I love Islam, I love Islam, I love Islam.
Sunnah Lifestyle. And today we have a very beautiful topic, that is treating guests. SubhanAllah, those people who are blessed to have guests in their home, how do you treat them? When they knock on the door and you've seen them from the window, do you basically not open the door? Is that how you treat the guest? Not really. Come on, how do you do it then? Come on, Brother Alkum, how do you treat the guests?
The guests are a blessing from Allah Almighty, and it's a great mercy from Allah Almighty. It's mentioned that when a person is hospitable for the sake of Allah Almighty, Allah Almighty sends 10 angels to his home who make dua for his forgiveness for the entire year.
SubhanAllah.
They make dua for his forgiveness for the entire year.
Allah.
Now imagine if you have guests coming every day or every 2 or 3 days, how lucky is that person who has guests coming to his house? Normally we treat guests like a burden. We think if guests come, we're going to have to buy this, or we're going to have to give this, and it's going to take our time, or we're going to have to spend money. But look, when guests come to your house, it's a blessing that the angels do dua for forgiveness for you.
SubhanAllah. Ibrahim, hold the mic. You're representing all them kids who are out there watching this program. Yeah. Can you tell us how we should be treating our guests?
Nice.
Should we mess about when the guests come?
No.
Should we run around?
No.
Should we make noise?
No.
Should we make life hard for our parents?
No.
Are you sure we should mess about or not mess about? What should we do?
No mess about.
Come on. Can you give a message to the kids then? What should they do when they have guests at home?
Not mess about.
They should not mess about. What else?
They should
behave.
They should run around.
They should run around.
And they shouldn't.
They shouldn't be running around. All the kids who are watching this program, make sure you don't run around when the guests are there, because Ibrahim said so. Okay, you have to listen to Ibrahim, because Ibrahim has come here to tell you to not run around and not mess about when the guests are there. And I know a lot of kids do. I hope you don't. Okay, I hope that. I think I need to go and speak to his dad and find out the facts. Yeah, that will be an interesting one. But anyway, Ibrahim said it right. Look, we get carried away. We get excited. And I think maybe because our parents, our elders are busy giving attention to the guests, and no one's talking to us, and we run around, we mess around, we think we're enjoying ourselves. But we need to realize, enjoying yourself, you're disturbing your guests. You know what they're going to be thinking? You know, if someone messes about, he runs around, he screams, and what will the guests be thinking generally? What do you say?
They'd normally be thinking that this child's very naughty. And
I think they'll be thinking maybe more than that. They think, yeah, are these humans or animals? What's wrong with them? And you know what? One thing we need to realize, all the kids who are watching this as well, that when you mess about in front of the guests, remember this, you as a person, as a child, as a son or a daughter, in front of your guests, you are representing your parents.
And you give a bad impression of your parents if you mess about.
Yes. You're giving bad impression of your parents. The guests going to think, is this how the tarbiyah, is this the upbringing they've given to their children? That their kids don't know how to behave. They mess about, they make noise, they scream, they run around, they disturb everyone. If there's food on the table, they'll come and they'll splash something on the floor, and they'll give them a tough time. And your parents want to scream at you. They want to yell at you, but they hold themselves. I have to give it to the parents. Those parents who don't scream at their children, why is the guest out there? I have to give it to you. Yeah, that you hold yourself. But you know what?
They get double when the guests are gone.
That's the problem, isn't it? That's the problem. Them parents, when the guests have gone, they do shukr. Thanks that these guests have gone. Now, it becomes, I don't know, what it becomes for the kids then. That it shouldn't be like that as well. Kids are not robots. You have to understand, kids are not robots. They are children. This is their fun time. You know why they're messing about? Do you know why they're running around? Why the guests are there, they're still making noise. Do you know why they're doing it? Because they don't know the manners. They don't really understand those manners. You might be 30-year-old, 50-year-old. You know the importance of respecting the guests. The kids have not really understood this maturity yet. They're still kids. They will mess about. Yeah. So the way parents, they're so cool-minded. We need to sit together. We need to have table talks. Regularly. Not once, not twice, not just 10 times. You'll have to have it so many times. But don't do it all the time. Sometimes when kids mess about, we're just like drilling them. We're always on their case. It shouldn't be like that. They're only kids.
They mess about even more if you do that.
Yeah, that's another thing as well.
Most of the time.
They know when to mess about. They will only mess about when the guests are out there. They'll give them a tough time. Is that what happens? Is that what kids do? Ibrahim, can you tell us some of the things what kids do when guests come? Hold the mic. Give us any example, anything you can remember what kids do when guests come.
They scream.
Yeah, or when they're watching telly and they put the volume so high, yeah, they do that as well. Why do they do that?
It's too loud.
It's too loud. Who does that? The guests do it or themselves? The kids do it.
Yeah.
Oh, they put a high volume and they close their ears and then leave the rest to the guests, and it's not a nice thing. One thing you mentioned, Brother Arkham, that when guests come, we need to remember these are blessings from Allah. Yeah. In our culture, we have some people who are very hospitality. They have so much hospitality. They are mehman nawaz. They look after their guests. They're so happy that you can see on their face. There's some houses when you go there, no matter what happens, they will not let you leave before the food.
Yeah.
They will just not let you leave. Yeah. If you leave, says you had food, you left at home, they will still cry that you didn't have tea there.
Yeah.
You know, I personally know some houses like that. They'll feel upset. They've set a standard for themselves,
yeah,
that whenever a guest comes, they want to give them the best. And that is just beautiful. It's amazing. You have to have a big heart to do this.
Yeah.
But there are people out there, You know who I'm talking about. When guests come, say, oh no, I've got someone else now. Well, man, he's going to eat all the biscuits.
You know, it's mentioned, like you're saying that, it's because some people, they think, oh, we're going to have to spend money, or it's going to cost us money to host a guest. But those guests that are coming, they're coming with their own risk. They're coming with their own sustenance. So whatever was going for them, it was never meant for you anyway. And it will not decrease to you in your own sustenance or wealth anyway.
SubhanAllah. Remember one thing, the food that is written for you, that will reach you. You will get that food. Even if you don't want it, that is written for you, it will get to you. And the food that's not written for you, you can do whatever you want, you will never get to it because it's not written for you. The rizq, the sustenance, the food is written for you. And those guests who come, remember, they are not eating from you. Although it looks like they're eating from your house, but in reality, they are eating their own share of food, own share of rizq that was written for them. That their own rizq has bought them.
SubhanAllah.
For example, if someone was extremely hungry and he comes to your house and he has a full meal. Now, that full meal that came out from your house and it's gone to that person's stomach, that is not, you became like a reason for him.
You
became the means and the reason for this. But that food that was that went in his stomach, that was written for him.
It was always going to go to him.
It was always going to go to him. And that's what we need to realize. The guest comes with his own rizq. And when he leaves the sins being washed away of the hosts.
SubhanAllah.
And Muslims should be proud, they should be happy, they should be excited, we should be welcoming. We should have a welcoming environment in our house. Yeah? A welcoming environment where, you know, when people come to our homes, you know, we give them such love, such, you know, hospitality that they don't want to go.
Yeah.
And they want to come again.
Yeah.
That's how it should be. Remember this, we are Muslims. And as Muslims, we have to live the Sunnah lifestyle. We have to follow the beautiful teachings of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And our beloved Aqa Madani Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam taught us to treat the guests well. Look after them. Our target should be, we want to, you know, cater for them. Don't let them go empty hand. Yeah, whatever you can do for them, you should do it. We do have some people, they exploit the situation. Yeah, for example, some people will come, they'll ask for money, they just knock on doors. There are some people like that as well. But here I'm talking about the genuine guests who are sincere, who are normal people, and especially your loved ones. Your aunties, your uncles, your relatives, they probably come from a different city. You know, we need to, you know, bring that culture back where we go and meet and greet each other. Because sometimes what happens, we get used to living our own lifestyle.
Yeah.
We've got our own routine, you know, from morning to evening, from Monday to Friday. We've got our own routine of doing things, and we don't have time to even knock on the next doors. We don't have time. You know, we're talking about hospitality here. Let's be honest. Many of us here who are watching this program as well, many of us, we've got next door neighbors who are Muslims, who are Ashikan and Rasul, but maybe years go past, they never visit our homes. Years, I'm not talking about a few years here, years, maybe decades have gone past, they've not visited our home because they probably not felt welcoming. Yeah? And also, we've not visited their homes. And you know, maybe that person who lives on the street is struggling. Maybe that person is going through a very difficult time in his life and you could help that person. There might be something in you, there might be some expertise in you that you could have supported him. But you're living a life, you know, let's be honest, we live our life in such a way we ignore people. We do it on purpose, we don't want to give salam to someone. Because if I give salam, today is going to be the salam, then tomorrow it's going to become the kalam. We're going to start talking to him, then the third day is going to come to our house. You know, because of the fear, why do we not want someone to come to our house? Because then we have to give them tea and biscuits. We have to give them a meal. You know what this is? Shase Ibrahim. This is stinginess. This is a sign of being stingy. Okay, if you don't know what that means, in Punjabi we say kanjus. Yeah? Stingy person, bukhul. This is what it is. This is a sign of stinginess where you don't want people to come to visit you. And you feel, you know, you feel something, something happens to your heart, and someone comes to your house. And that we need to get rid of. And the only way to do it is feed people.
For people, there's one hadith of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When you listen to it or you read it, you want people to come to your house so you can be your host.
Subhanallah.
It increases that passion within you.
Allah.
It's mentioned the final Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, whoever showed hospitality towards a guest, he will enter paradise.
Allah, subhanallah. Can you just repeat that again, please?
Whosoever showed hospitality towards a guest, he will enter paradise.
Subhanallah.
Only
if you could remember this hadith park. And only if you could act upon this, you know, just from now on, make this intention. Is there anyone out there who makes the intention that from now on, whenever there's a guest in our homes, we're going to give them the best of treatments? It's time to move on to our final segment of the program. That is Islamic manners.
I love Islam. I love Islam. I love Islam.
Welcome to our segment, Islamic Manners. In this segment, we have such topics that help you to beautify your character, that make your personality, that help you to become a good Muslim. And today's topic is a beautiful one. It's an interesting one. It's finding fault in others. So today we're going to tell kids how to find faults in others. Not really. We're going to help you. We're going to tell you how is it if people find faults in others. That's what we're going to talk about. Dear Brother Arkham, what would you like to say?
I think normally we have physical diseases which people know about and they want to stay away from. They know how bad they are. This is one of the spiritual diseases. And just like we want to stay away from or protect ourselves from physical illnesses and diseases, this is something we need to protect ourselves from as well.
So if someone has a habit of finding faults in other people, this is actually a disease.
Disease of the heart, yeah.
So that means, what do you do if you have a disease?
You have to try and find the cure.
You have to get the treatment done.
Yeah.
So do we need to go to a doctor here?
Spiritual doctor.
Spiritual doctor. SubhanAllah, good luck with that one. Okay. So we need to find the cure for finding faults. But before we go to discuss the cure, let's give more examples.
Yeah.
Like how, what happens, a lot of us, we make comments about other people.
Yeah.
And we think, you know what, I'm just making a comment. I'm being honest.
You know, the way that we're supposed to be is, if we find a fault in somebody, we're supposed to hide it.
Allah.
But at the moment, what seems to be happening in the world is, rather than just seeing faults, we're actually going and looking for faults in people, and then not just looking for them, pointing them out to other people as well, and making other people aware of these faults.
So this is one of the cure for finding faults in others. If you want to cure this disease, this first cure is, try to hide fault. If you become aware of a fault of another Muslim, hide it. Don't tell other people. Don't just express it in front of everyone. Don't let the whole world know. Don't put it on social media, or he's not in namaz, or he lied. Don't tell everyone. Yeah? One, they should hide their fault. Second, they should rectify that person.
Yeah.
Yeah? If you can, if it's within your reach, if you're able to do, and sometimes you might not have the reach to, you know, reach that individual, but you might have other channels that you could still go through those channels to get a message across.
Yeah.
Yeah? And you could mention it to a certain person. It could be a parent, it could be a friend of that person, it could be a teacher, it could be someone else. It could be a Qari Sahib in Madrasatul Madina. It could be someone else who you could use. They could rectify that person. Because you might feel you're struggling to talk to that person yourself. So having this passion that I want to correct him. He's got this bad habit. He's doing wrong. He's at fault. And I want that bad habit to get out of him. And this actually is a sign of generosity. Like that shows you got a kind heart. SubhanAllah.
Normally what happens is that we're more focused on other people than ourselves as well. If we focus on our own mistakes, or every person is going to have some sort of fault or some
but
sort of mistake.
The problem is, Brother Arkham, if I start focusing on my own faults, I'm going to have a huge list. I'll have to buy a full diary for that then. I don't have time for that. It's easy to look at fault, find faults in other people.
That's one of the cures that we need to do as well. we need to look our own faults and try to improve them.
Allah.
Because it's going to be difficult to improve somebody else. That's there. If you can't find a way to get to them or explain to them, then you're doing kindness to them. But you need to do kindness to yourself as
Allah.
Well.
But I'll tell you one thing though. Now, if we were all to do this, we would make a list of our own shortcomings, our wrongdoings, our faults, and then one by one, we try to focus to rectify them. We'll probably spend our whole life. Even then, our list of faults will not finish. We will still make mistakes. We are human beings. There will still be wrongdoings. There will still be challenges that we will still have to work on a personal level.
There will be so many, you will not get time to look at the faults of other people.
Allah.
You'll be so busy on yourself.
Allah. That reminds me, I don't know who's saying this is, but they said that if they meet someone, they have this like a rule. That if they meet someone who's bigger than them in age, he would say that this person is bigger than me in age, that means he's got more good deeds than me.
Allah.
And if he meets someone who's smaller than him in the age, he would put that in his mind, this person has less sins than me.
Allah.
And that is a beautiful way to look at it. Yeah, you know, think nice about other people. Sometimes you might look at someone and you might think he's one of the worst people here in the society. Who knows? There might be something in him Allah Pak loves. And because of that, Allah Pak has forgiven that person. Who knows? This person might be close to Allah Ta'ala. You might think he's... No, we're not saying his wrongdoings are right. We're not saying that, by the way. If someone is doing wrong things, they're wrong.
Yes.
Yeah? The two wrongs don't make a right. Yeah? If he's doing wrong, if he's missing namaz, if he's swearing, if he's being disrespectful to parents, if they're doing wrong, they are wrong things. No, let's be clear. But that doesn't mean we go around and knock on doors and tell everyone, listen, that boy there who lives on that door, yeah, he did this yesterday.
It's mentioned that a Muslim is a mirror of another Muslim.
Allah.
So no, sometimes it might be the faults that you're seeing in other people, then faults might be in you as well.
So Allah. So you might be seeing yourself.
Yeah, you might be seeing yourself.
No, for some reason we become so negative. It's like, you know what I mean, we have put sunglasses on. You know, you have sunglasses, you have a different feel of the things around you. Yeah, if it's a hot sunny day, you put sunglasses on, you feel more relaxed, don't you? Yeah, it's like we've got the glasses of finding faults in other people. Whenever we go, we find faults. Oh, he's got that. Oh, he does that bad. He does that. Oh, I know him when he's outside and he's away from home. He does this. He does that. He does this. And some people go and grasp up on him. Yeah, they tell the parents. They tell his teachers. They tell other people. Yeah, you know this habit is actually a sign of hatred as well. This breeds, finding faults in the people, this breeds hatred, jealousy, and doubt. Now it gets a bit serious now. Now that person, forget about finding faults in other people, he must do something about this jealousy that he's got. Yeah, he needs to find a cure. First thing he needs to do, you know, go to the doctor, the spiritual doctor, and find the cure of jealousy, of hatred. Because this is harmful for himself. Forget about other people for a moment. Focus on yourself. And that's what Islam is all about. Islam reminds us about ourselves. We must not forget this. Always look out for yourself. Always remain humble. And try to rectify yourself. There's always, everyone makes mistakes. Humans make mistakes. You know, sometimes what happens? There's some religious people. It could be an imam. It could be an Islamic teacher. It could be someone else in the society. Because they're known for their Islamic figure. Sometimes we think that, no, because this Islamic person, he's 100% Muslim. You know, oh, he's 100% Muslim. Everyone's a Muslim. Whoever's a Muslim is a Muslim. There's no such thing as 50% Muslim. Everyone is 100% Muslim, yeah. Alhamdulillah. However, you know, we expect them to be like robots and be, you know, free from faults and be innocent. Or they can never do wrong. It's not like that. They are human beings. They have nafs as well. They have shaitan. They have the inner battles as well. And we need to keep that in mind, that they have their own internal journey that they're going through. And we have our own battles, but they can make mistakes, they can do wrongdoings. And sometimes when you set a very high standard for other people, and you think, you know, for example, there's a brother with Imam Sharif, yeah, with beard, with long loose clothing, whenever you look at them type of people, you expect them to read 5 times Salah with Jamaat. Now one day that person, he got late for whatever reason. He had an appointment, he came to Masjid, you know, 10 minutes late. And now you think, wow, how did you miss Namaz? How did you come late to Jamaat? How could you ever do this? Then you start thinking bad about them people. He's a human being. He can be late sometimes. It can happen. Who are we to judge the people? Are you the big judge here in the city? Are people gonna, no, if whatever that person does, is there something that you have to make a comment for everything? No. Okay? So let's just revise this topic again. Few of the things you would like to say and cure for finding faults.
I think the main one is to look at your own mistakes and focus on your own mistakes first. And then it's remember that everyone, as we mentioned, everyone has faults and mistakes. So if you want your own faults and mistakes to be covered and hidden, you should cover the faults and mistakes of other people. Because if you expose and spread and point out the mistakes of others, then one day it might be that your mistakes are pointed out to others as well. So if you want them to be hidden, then hide the mistakes of other people as well.
SubhanAllah. Remember one thing. Today, if you hide the faults of other people, it is possible on the day of Qiyamah, Allah Pak will hide your faults from the other people. So have that in your mind. Just have that in your mind. That's it for today. It's time for us to leave now. Look after yourself, stay well. May Allah Pak take you to Medina, inshallah.
I love Islam. 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 I love Islam.